Welcome to the Australian CISO, a podcast for current and aspiring chief information security officers and anyone interested in cybersecurity. My name is Richard Herron. I am the host of the Australian CISO and proud to think there are listeners in 38 countries of the world. All opinions you hear on this podcast are my own or those of the people being interviewed. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the companies that I or the interviewees are employed by. The podcast is recorded with Audacity using a Rode Podcaster microphone and hosted on Podomatic. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Australian CISO episode 37. Today is Sunday, September 24, 2023. Happy birthday to everyone born on this fine date. For most people born on this date, it's usually around Grand Final Day, and in the old days it was usually around another holiday that used to exist called Show Day, as in the Melbourne Show Day. Hello to all those Librans having a birthday today. Last week we heard the first half of an interview with friend of the podcast, Nigel Fair, which we conducted a fortnight ago at B-Sides Melbourne 2023, which was held at SEEK headquarters in Cremorne, Victoria. Today we'll hear the second part and the final part of that interview with Nigel. Remembering what I said last week, we just went with the flow, asked questions on the fly, and said whatever came to our minds. We will start part two of the interview with how we ended part one, where Nigel made a comment about third-party questionnaires. Here's part two.
Yeah. And obviously the big chatter now is about third parties.
Oh yeah, and boy, there's so much work involved in, and you've probably received these before. You receive, you know, 101 questionnaires, and you're like, you kind of say to yourself, I've got a day job to do here, but that is part of your day job, providing assurance to your customers that we have all our ducks in a row.
So, what's really led this has been that chestnut called cyber insurance.
Yep.
And where I've seen those questionnaires just be unwielding is when they have forced drop downs, and you can't, you know, it's like MFA. Do you have MFA? Yes, no. Okay, yes, we've got it, but you know, is our posture any better?
That's, you know, right.
And yeah, that's another broken concept, is cyber insurance. Yeah. It's just
And what unwieldy. Happens if you say, just say in your questionnaire, you said, do you use laptop encryption? And just say we say no, and then you've got to receive the response, look at it and go, was that an issue for me? Now, it's certainly got to be an issue because you wouldn't have asked the question in the first place, but you can come back to me and say, we require all your laptops to be encrypted. Now, if I then come back to you, the customer, and say, look, I'll make this up now. That's going to cost us $583,000 to encrypt all our laptops. What happens there? Yeah,
the next question now, that is shadow IT.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of my favorite soapboxes, and I've got about 100 of those soapboxes.
Oh, you do?
Lined up, is the harder you make it, the more people are just going to go around it. I don't think we give nearly enough credence to people doing things out of band with shadow IT, whether it's I'm traveling overseas and you make it too hard, so I'll just direct all my emails to my Gmail account. Or I'll take my own laptop, which my kid uses to torrent the latest Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
And so who knows what other remnants are on that device.
Well, it reminds me of about 10 years ago when I was looking after data loss prevention. We had this great idea. You know what? We're going to block anyone sending email to a Gmail, Hotmail account. Problem is, especially when you work in banks and business banking, a lot of those businesses have like nigelfair at gmail.com. We can't just suddenly block gmail.com because that's one of our
business customer.
It gets tough.
And you'd argue Gmail has become more corporatized in that sense that I don't think the stigma is there of you're too stingy to buy your own domain. And a Microsoft, Office service. I'm just going to use free webmail.
Yeah.
And particularly if you're registered in your name of, you know, xyzcorporation@gmail.com, I think it does.
Yeah.
And you certainly see a lot of it.
Yeah. I got a question for you. I'm an old fashioned guy who likes listening to the radio, 3AW, you know, the ABC, and I hear you quite often on the ABC talking. How does that come about? Are you just known as someone radio people go to get answers on cyber?
Is that how it, and how did it all start? You must have had your initial call once, you know, 15 years ago, and it just sort of increased.
Well, yeah, it started when I was in the police.
Yeah.
And I remember doing the first lot of cyber media, and people would ring you up and congratulate you or email you and go, wow, you know, cyber's on the news sort of thing. You know, we'd do an investigation, or there'd be a, you know, be privacy week, and the comms people would put out some talking points for you and you'd do it. So it probably builds from there. So I do media almost most days.
Wow.
It's actually, yeah, it's fascinating. I really enjoy it. Oh, the big misnomer is people think you get paid for it. You don't. that's the first one to dispel straight away.
But are you getting paid for this podcast interview, Nigel?
You said you were going to buy me a coffee.
Well, I can get you a coffee. They're free.
You can get me a free beer at the drink tonight. I find the media fascinating, and it depends which media you're doing. So things like the ABC, they actually have a portal where they look up where people are, and you have a little, it's almost like a 5-star rating, like on your Uber type thing.
Ah.
They have people that they have for different sections. So the media I find is fascinating for a number of things, because journalism is generally broken in this country. We don't pay for journalists. We don't pay for investigative journalists hardly at all. It's whatever bleeds, leads. And so if you can help them fill up 90 to 120 seconds on breakfast radio with some reasonably pithy answers, they love you to death because you've just filled up that time for them. So it's, I think it's about getting your head around, how do I add value to them? And that's why that's why they ring you back. The other reason they ring you back is if you're available.
Yeah.
If they can ring you up for breakfast, say 6:30 a.m. to get to be on, is in 30 to 40 minutes, they love you for it. And I look at corporate PR, and I look at so many corporate PR companies, and I think they do an outstandingly terribly job. They get paid money by vendors, consultancies, whatever, to get them in the media. And all of them are ex-journos. They just go about it the wrong way. They either become over-salesy or overly pushy or over whatever. But I really find if you can do the journalist job for them, if they ring you up and say, you know, we've just had some big hacks recently.
Yep.
You know, what do you think about that? And you can go, I think this, this, and this. And you skew it to what they are. So
yeah.
when I'm talking on 3AW to Neil Mitchell,
yep,
I talk in a completely different way than I do to when I'm talking to breakfast ABC or mid-afternoon, yep, or on the television. It's a real, you've got to be a horses for courses. If you're doing ABC News 24 on the TV at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they are desperate for you to fill in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So your answers are really long. If you're doing Patricia Cavellis on RN Breakfast, it's smashing it out. That's your 8-second response.
Yeah. Here's something I just thought. If you were advising some people who are new to cyber, just say they've got their first job and they've got aspirations of becoming an analyst, senior analyst, manager, head of, and maybe a CISO, is anything, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, is there anything you can, any words of wisdom you could give them? Like, how do they get there?
Yeah. So I think it's a combination of everything. So to get their foot in the door, they need to have done some education. Now, so I work in the higher education sector. There are some very good Bachelor of courses,
yep,
across the country. And I don't think the higher education sector, the universities particularly, are good at selling to an employer. You are getting a graduate that's done these range of things rather than they've just spent 3 years here and gone to bands on a Friday night. So I think the sector needs to really look hard at its value proposition. So I think ideally start off technical if you have that interest and the aptitude. So I like things like Bachelor of Software Engineering.
Yep.
I don't like Bachelor of ITs.
Okay.
Why?
Because they're too general?
Too general.
Yep, yep.
But we, you know, as we all know, there's a cyber career for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be technical. What I like about technical degrees is if it's your bent, you can pursue that. But if you can at least learn some of those things, then you can bounce out into strategy or GRC or a bunch of other comms or lots of other things. But you kind of know that part of the business. You're not an expert, but you kind of understand when people go, oh, yeah, we're going to build an app for this part of the business. Because we've got to remember, we need people to come through to be the yes but people, not the no people. Yeah. They need to be solving business problems. Yeah. So when the business says, oh, we're going to go off and do this whatever, and there's going to be a custom app we're going to engage with customers, you need to think, okay, how does an app get built? Oh, I know, we've got app developers, blah, blah, blah. And then they test their code. We need secure code being built along the way. And then once we get it all together, we might do some white box testing and, yeah, you know, along with all the normal availability and assurance testing. And they can think that way, even if it's not their shtick.
Yeah.
So I think, but there's also, you can go to a TAFE and you can do a certificate for.
Absolutely.
And TAFEs are great because it's applied. Yep. It's vocational education. You can smash out a year. There's lots of certifications out there. I would only say to someone, do certification mid-career, not early career.
Yeah, I think you're right. I did a CISSP in the first year that I landed in information security, cybersecurity in 2002. I did not know what day it was. With respect to security, I somehow passed my CISSP. I don't know how, but I probably prefer to do it now to really...
Yeah.
And I like the bit you said about the no. I think long gone... It still does exist in organisations. Long gone is the department of no. I want to plug in my USB key. No, I want to do it. No, but I've got to do it. No, and no. Just you've got to work with the business.
Yeah,
you've really got to work with them because you are part of the business, and you want the business
absolutely.
To succeed.
That's what I'm saying. You're solving business problems.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now we have chatted for a while, Mr. Fair. Is there any final words that you can leave us with at all?
Well, sticking with the theme of people in their career is enjoy your career.
Yeah.
I think is enjoy your workmates, your colleagues, learn stuff, have fun. Don't be afraid to try things. Don't be afraid to go to, I'm an ex-government guy. I spent 21 years in the police.
Yep.
I highly recommend people do a stint in government somewhere. Yeah. You see things from a completely different perspective when you are in government.
You do.
At all tiers of government, by the way. It doesn't have to be the Commonwealth government. It's a different way of looking at things.
Yeah.
It's just another thing to add to your toolkit.
Yeah. And I'm gonna add something to the end of that because you just triggered something in my mind. If you are joining cyber because that's where all the jobs are and that's where all the money is, you're not gonna last. What I find with security people, and I'll have to develop my thinking a bit more here, but two of the biggest attributes I think you can have, passion. You have to be passionate about cyber.
110%.
If you're not, that's okay. Do something else.
Yeah, yeah. Go and work in another part of the business.
And the second thing is, I was going to say resilience, but I won't say resilience. I'll say optimism. You have to be passionately optimistic that things aren't going to go your way sometimes, right? But you've just got to just keep on moving ahead, because good things will happen. If you are persistently consistent and passionately optimistic, that's not bad, is it?
That's not bad. I think you should trademark that.
Yeah, I'll write that down. You'll get places. You just can't give up. Just keep pushing through. There'll be roadblocks in that middle of the road. You go around them. You do something. Let's face it, at the end of the day, we're all here to protect customer and corporate information, and ultimately our company's reputation. Why wouldn't you just keep pushing ahead and never giving up?
And there's a lot of opportunities around now. And you think when you and I started 20 plus years ago to now, it's awesome that the cons like this, the networking available, the certs are available. You mentioned CLSSP, there's also technical ones, SANS or offensive security. And there's a myriad of things that you can
And
your career.
And the fourth sibling of people, process, and technology is that partnership. Partnership is like we've had a number of discussions about security and things we do bigger and better. And you find that at conferences, there is that partnership. No one cares. If we're at opposition companies, you don't care anymore. You're there to help each other because we might be competing at the cash register, but ultimately we're fighting the same battle.
And I think the banks do that very well.
Yes, they have been doing that very well for 10, 20 years.
I was going to say 15 years at a minimum.
Yeah. All right, young Nigel,
Thanks, Richard.
No, thank you, Sue. It's funny for our listeners, we didn't have a schedule of what we're going to talk about. It just sort of meandered around about.
And here we are.
And here we are. But I think as a friend of the podcast, we'll have you on again. And who knows what we're going to talk about, but we'll find something.
Absolutely.
All right.
Talk soon.
Thanks, Nigel. Bye.
Well, that was the completion of the interview with Nigel Fair. I've had some feedback in the last week saying that people really enjoyed hearing two security people just talk about security topics. I've also had a few people in recent times thank me for the podcast, which covered B-sides, saying that they'd like to attend it next year based on that episode we had a couple of weeks ago. Well, in return, I sincerely thank you for listening and let me ramble on into your eardrums for 20 minutes per week. I know it sounds like a cliche, but I do really feel honoured to be able to push out an episode on a weekly basis and to have you actually listen to it. As such, I really want to thank the great man Nigel Fair and the organisers again of B-Sides for allowing me to do the interviews during their magnificent event. B-Sides will come around in most states in Australia in the next year. Make sure you attend one of them. Now, next week we'll have another interview from B-Sides Melbourne 2023, which I'll have to split into two episodes due to the length of the interview. Who is the mystery person we're going to interview next week? Well, let's just say their name is also the name of a flower. Someone who has quite striking coloured hair. If you haven't nutted it out yet, tune in next week to find out. I and my mystery guest really enjoyed the chat we had at B-Sides 2023 in Melbourne. Stay tuned for that one. It's that time again when we have to go our separate ways. So until next time, look after yourselves, look after others, try to be nice to people at work, and we'll chat again. Speak next week. Bye.